Hello. Before we run tonight's program, I thought it would be helpful for you to know that Rochelle was very sick during this program. And it's a tribute to what a trooper she is that she did the program in spite of her pain, which we talk about on the show. So I just wanted you to be aware of that in case you're not hearing the normal, ebullient Rochelle Strider that you're used to. With that said, here we go. Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's November 24th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. So happy to be with you, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition. And what to make of it.
Now you're talking.
Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is brought to you by Go Raw. Thank you, Go Raw, for sponsoring us. And Go Raw is available at Costco. It may be Trader Joe's. This is a possibility. We're excited about that. But you can also go to goraw.com and find out where you can get it in your neighborhood. Be the first in your neighborhood to own your own soul.
Does not come in a package, except you consider the human package as the package it comes in.
Tonight, our topic is Now We're Talking, or Now You're Talking.
Now you're talking.
Okay. So what have you all been doing all this time, you may be tempted to ask out there, listener. I know, but tonight's conversation, some of the really important subjects that have been waiting off stage for their share of the limelight are coming out big time. We need to talk, they say. Talk amongst yourselves, I try to convince them. But, they retort, how does all this spiritual stuff that you're always talking about relate to what's going on in the real world? Like the tragedy in Paris. Refugee issues, you know, which are bound by the millions, and the fact that we can have Donald Trump actually be considered for president? For God's sake!
Wow, now you're talking.
Exactly. How does all this painful and absurd commotion fit into for God's sake? Sake, by the way, really means purpose. But if you're a bit squeamish about the notion of like a God, and it's like, God, I don't, not God. Well, how about for evolution's sake? Evolution's sake? What gives? So that's why we plan tonight to do some serious and not so serious talking. Here we are in our cabin in the woods, and why it's so important to have this conversation about Now We're Talking. Oh, one last thing. Not to take ourselves seriously, because, and I just read this in a book called E equals MC squared, the universe is scheduled to end in 10 to the 32nd years. So set your clocks. Because now you're talking.
We are, aren't we? Every second of my life has a beginning and an end, and at the same time, doesn't seem that way. It seems like it's always flowing into the next second, and the minute the next second appears, it doesn't look like it's been anywhere.
Did you ever have one of those seconds, like go off and go to the bathroom and not be there when you got to it?
I personally, no.
No.
But you might have.
but you've heard about it. That's the thing about seconds and time. And this book that I just read, E equals MC squared, and it's kind of the story of the development of our whole consciousness that led to that recognition by Mr. Einstein himself. Oh, just a second. Let me pull in Professor Schnitzel now that we're talking about Einstein. Did you know Einstein? Didn't we talk about this one of ourselves?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We knew the Einsteins very well in our family, and they were like all very good fiddle players. Although one of them, Chaim Einstein, was a drummer, and he drove his parents crazy. They had him sleep and play his drums on the outside and on the house. But Albert was on the inside of the house pondering, what's the nature of energy, and how does it like get around, and whose fault is it when things don't go well and when they go awry? So he found out. This was a big thing because for many centuries, mass, the stuff that was life, energy, even after energy was recognized, which was not like right away, mass, of course, you had mass, you had trees, you had food, everything that you're having that's physical. But then they discovered that the energy is the same unto mass. It's multiplied by the speed of light, which is like 640 billion miles a second, million. It's very fast. And so they put them together. One day they found out that they were able to split atom. Can you imagine if you're an atom and someone comes along and says, we're going to split you, where you would be a very cantankerous atom. So it bumps into other atoms and starts the chain reaction. Before you know it, you got kaput. Big explosion.
Wow. I never thought of it quite that way, Professor. Thank you for enlightening us.
Well, yeah, it's an important thing to remember. This week I've been thinking all about this here thing and trying to imagine all the stages of life and evolution. And so as we approach, you Americans have this, what's it called? Well, Thanksgiving. Yeah, the Thanksgiving, it's a holiday we celebrate every year to kind of, yeah, I know, I've been here long enough to celebrate it. Yeah, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. So, man, this is great stuff to be thankful for. I love this, the fact that evolution has been developing through all these stars growing and exploding and imploding and all these elements bursting out all over the universe and culminating into this unbelievable thing called life. And by golly, I think it's something to be grateful for. So let's kick it off. Let's be grateful.
Now you're talking.
I'm thankful for the morning. Love to watch the sun come up. Thankful for my breathing. The coffee in my cup. And I am thankful for the bird songs. The way they sing to me. Thankful to be thankful, it's all I have to be. I'm thankful for the blue skies, for the clear wide open space. I'm thankful for the thunder, the rain upon my face. And I am thankful for the silence, the time to go within. I'm thankful for the darkness, I can know the light again. And I'm thankful for the world as she turns. We go round and round and round. I'm thankful for the children, hear their laughter on the breeze. For the flowing of the river, the stillness of the trees. And I am thankful for the passion, the cunning of the muse. For the life I am creating, I'm thankful I can choose. And I'm thankful for the world as she turns. We go round and round and round. Yes, I'm thankful for the world as she turns. We go round and round and round. I'm thankful for compassion, humility, and grace. I'm thankful for forgiveness, born of the human race. And I am thankful for our differences, our similarities. I'm thankful to be thankful, it's all I have to be. And I'm thankful for the world as she turns. We go round and round and round. Yes, I'm thankful for the world as she turns. We go round and round and round. I'm so thankful for the world.
I'm thankful for the world that we go round and round and round.
I love it.
Now you're talking. But Rochelle has not been well the last 24 hours, and so this is uppermost in our minds, and her body is calling attention to itself in a very uncomfortable way.
Yeah, you know, persistence is what you add to pain. So I'm not resisting it. I'm just having it, a little pain here that I have a kidney stone. If anybody out there has ever had a kidney stone, I'm told it's extraordinarily painful.
So that's not like getting stoned. That's different.
Very different.
Very different. Okay.
Very different. I mean, think of something that is 6 millimeters round that has to pass through your urethra and come out. And that's the only way it's going to come out.
So if you could all concentrate, but you're listening on Rochelle's kidney stone and like your laser light and kind of go send your consciousness like right now into it and think of our collective power. Let's get into that. We're going to talk more about that to be grateful for it. But zero in and laser-like power and release that. We release that. I want to say we release in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the release. That is so great. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a little much, but okay. I'll take whatever you can hand me.
Hey,
if it feels
good. This is
good.
This is a good thing to be grateful for.
Yep. I think that compassion is born in pain. Pain is something that brings attention to itself. It says, oh, pay attention to me. Nothing else matters right now. You're in pain. And you know that if you resist it, it just hurts more. So I'm not resisting it. I'm just being with it and allowing it to be and grateful for all the things it could have been and it isn't. There's a CAT scan. Boy, that's a fun thing. You go in this little machine and you hear this voice on a loudspeaker and it says, breathe.
Really?
And it says, hold your breath. And you hold your breath for 6, 7 seconds, whatever. And then it says, breathe.
Whoa.
And it's sort of like being in a science fiction movie. Really kind of interesting. And they put things in your arm that move through your body and change the colors of all your innards so that they can get a good picture of it. So there I was being a Technicolor picture for some viewer.
Well, now you're talking. So your innards are like this colorful montage of things that are exacerbating where there's high energy in there, so it reflects that through your body.
Well, the CAT scan from what they're really looking at, what's going on, period. That's it. It's not like they have to translate it into something else. It is what it is.
Now, I heard the CAT scan got its name because very, very tiny cats that they breed.
I knew.
No, wait a minute.
I would say now you're talking, but now you're ridiculous.
Well, I'll get to the talking part. Let me just get through this with the cats who go through there and they yell, meow, bad thing here, meow, or something like that.
I really don't think that's exactly the way it works, but nevertheless. It's very interesting because when you're in that situation, and I'm sure people have been in that situation where you go into a hospital and you're put through tests, you're a specimen. In many ways, you lose your identity. You're this body with parts, and the parts are being examined. Nobody really cares what you think or that we have a radio show to do or anything else. You know,
it's or like, the library book was overdue.
Oh, right, nothing. I mean, it's just like what is being seen on this screen and what is being deduced from what they see on the screen. And then the doctor called me. I was driving on the highway. You know, you're not supposed to answer your cell phone on the highway. Anyone listening, please don't tell on me, but I was really nervous. I picked it up and I said, please call me back. I'm on the highway. And then I put the phone away and realized I'd missed my exit.
There you go. Where was that exit?
So then it's a matter of being creative about finding out how to get off, how to go there, how to go there.
Were you in pain while that was happening?
Well, right now the pain is sort of low level. It depends. I can handle pain a little better than some people. Nevertheless, it's not comfortable.
Well, speaking of pain, I'd like to ask Rabbi Greenberg, comment. We've got a few things going on here. We've got Thanksgiving. We've got pain. Thankful for pain. You got anything to say about that kind of contradiction? Well, of course.
something I would like to say, so I can hope that you'll say to me after I finish saying what I'm saying.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. So there's this dilemma in reality. Reality can be very rough. Look at evolution, explosion, implosions of the stars. There you have it you're talking about. And the stars imploding. And so what it makes it like it feels rough, the universe. And the universe is in the process of smoothing things out a little bit so that we shouldn't feel so alone. And so it rubs up against you. That's why I have these products I sell, rubbits.
Now you're talking.
It's a way you can rub up against the universe to remind you that you exist. So that's a lot of what people pick, pain or pleasure, rubbits.
I really do believe, Rabbi, that when we're in pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain or spiritual pain, it comes our teacher in that moment. It says, now, if we're after Thanksgiving, if we're after giving thanks, if we're after being grateful, how do you be grateful when you hurt? What are you taking from that? What are you learning about yourself from that? It doesn't matter what you learn. It's that you learn something. There you are, you know, this tiny little being in this orbit. And all of a sudden you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And how you deal with that, you know, you become very aware that such a short period of time you're hurt. It takes up such a short period of time. Like I said, how long will the pain last before the stone is released? And she said, well, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a day, you know, you don't know. Meanwhile, I'll just drink a lot of water and I figure I'll be sloshing around, you know. If I'm going to be sloshing, I want it to go.
That's right. By the way, the gratitude song was by Michael Farr. And I want to thank Michael because it really had a nice little lightweight, not too gushy thank you song. We have some gushy thankful songs, but Rabbi, you were in the middle of saying something about pain and being grateful for. So, like, what's in it for me when I'm in pain? What I was saying is that when you're in pain, it forces you to expand your definition of love until you get to the point where there is no definition of love, because it forces you to find love in places that you wouldn't be able to look for it so much.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not thinking about it.
Yeah, and our minds can only encompass very little, you know, compared to all that there is to encompass. So it is a matter of just opening oneself up and being one with that pain. It's not an easy thing to do, but boy, it is transformative. I'm very aware of the few moments that I have when I can do that. It is truly transformative.
Well, it really develops humility. I was just reading about the importance of humility, which is just coming to a place where I don't know all there is to know. I don't know. I don't. But I'm open to knowing. I'm open to receive it. But one thing's for sure, because we are so busy, in order for that to happen, you've got to slow me down. I mean, really.
Rushing and racing and running in circles, moving so fast I'm forgetting my purpose. Blur of the traffic is sending me spinning, getting nowhere. My head and my heart are colliding, chaotic pace of the world. I just wish I could stop it. Try to appear like I've got it together. I'm falling apart. Save me. Somebody take my hand and lead me. Slowly down. Don't let them pass me by. Just show me. Tired of rushing, racing and running, I'm falling apart. Tell me. won't you take my hand and lead me? Slowly pull me down. Don't ever pass me by, just show me how. Cause I'm ready to fall. Slowly pull me down. Don't let me live a lie before my life flies by. I need you to slow me down. Just show me, I need you to slow me down. Slow me down, slow me down.
That was Emmy Rossum singing wow. Slow Me Down. Remember Emmy Rossum mm-hmm. from the Phantom of the Opera?
Movie.
One of the things that I'm learning is the whole art of slowing down and coming to a stop and being still, because it's in the stillness that we find the, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, Father O'Malley, stillness. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, assurance is the word is quiescence. I think that's a good word. Becoming very quiescent, so that you're just like hovering in anticipation and not projecting too much on what may happen in the very next thing that's coming down at you there. And you're hovering and you're just in there, present there, and seeing what wants to show up. And when you have the pain, darling, and one of the secrets is you take the dress off the pain. The dress of the pain is the word pain. That's right. The first thing is you take that off, because that's just a dress that it wears. Then you just drop down into this feeling itself, right into the heart of the feeling, with no concept about it, and just bring your attention there and bring the light there. And we've got all this support on the radio program right here, right now. Ain't it? Sure is a blessing to be thankful for, and that's what we can do, bring our attention to it.
I've had moments of that. That to me is... When you're talking, right?
No, I'm talking? Am I talking yet?
You just talked.
Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't me. I mean, that was...
I know, but I didn't point to you. I pointed to him.
Right. I could have seen that coming, the pointer leading to the point. Tonight we're doing Now We're Talking. And one of the things I did want to bring up, because it really challenges the Thanksgiving spirit in a lot of people, and that is this whole war that's going on in the world between these forces, you know, the name ISIS, and then there's those who are not ISIS. And this escalating war that's taking up so much of our attention, I'd like to think we're coming to a head from an evolutionary perspective, and that it's going to precipitate a breakthrough in consciousness, because it's all one system. So the system is giving forth this conflict and these extreme positions that are extremely violent and committed to eliminating the other ones, just like in World War II and just like the one before that and the one before that. It goes on and on and on. But to me, it speaks more of our disconnection from our source, because all of that is just mad attempts to reconcile ourselves to ourselves, which is the fundamental game. And that's why we are grateful and do this program, so we can remind each other that there is a unified self operating here. And even the pain and the struggle and the conflict and the perplexity is operating in this context of movement, of evolution, of things moving toward greater complexity and greater union. At least that's how I was talking about it.
Well, now you are talking. Our fear of that which is inevitable, which is death, makes people wanting to kill you very scary, especially if the person who wants to kill you feels good about being killed, because he gets rewards for being killed, gets to go to nice places.
Yeah, that was not part of the deal when we entered into the warring agreement game.
No, it wasn't. When someone's perception seems so at odds with our own perception, it becomes really scary. Being able to realize that I don't have to be frightened by any of this. I just have to be creative. if I can be creative and take the fear out of it, then things can happen that I have no way of envisioning even.
Well, now you're talking. This is Senator Beauregard, and you remind me of the problems that people have in this world that kind of moves into the collective perspective, which we call the political perspective. It's not so much about individuals, the political perspective. It's kind of about who gets to decide. And when you have these folks here who are not playing by the rules that we thought we set up, that you value your life above everything, and they play by these different rules. And so that's going to cause quite an adjustment. How do you proceed under those kind of circumstances? I'll tell you one thing that you got to do first and foremost, which is why it's part of our policy and our mission and why we are the Human Party. And that is we need to be unified. That's the main thing. And so we have this country right now, which is not unified, at least at the political level, quite the opposite. Keeping the other fellow from making those decisions is way more important than what we can be doing for the collective body politic. That's why we're in a situation now where not only do we have to be thankful for what we have, but we have to be thankful for our capacity to take some real significant action and make things better. And people ask, what is that action? And I want to suggest that real significant action and make things better. And people ask, what is that action? And I want to suggest that, at the very least, it's getting together and gathering together and start building that power of love. It's like a gathering of spirits. That's right. Something rare and fine, so glow like embers. Oh, like
You exist with me before, but unknowing. I would wrench you from myself in ecstasy, that you may know many-celled glory. I offer you my bowels, my insides I give you to spawn in. My body will be your tabernacle until you are ready to bask in my sight.
I am sorry that you must know tears before laughter, but imperfection's delay is the stuff that sons and daughters are made of. We must be indirect at first, owing to the disparity of our size and nature, but I will shed my absolute cloak and nestle naked with you in the raw earth. Feel under my robe and touch my purity. Let me wrap you in my wholeness.
I look upon your soul's nakedness and would cover you with the garments of progression. Our love will take on new forms so that you may satisfy me with new experience. I will wean you and woo you until you know that you are mine.
You may cavort with other lovers for a time, until you know that you know not. Then I will bare my breast and fill you with the rich, sweet textures of my being, for in our coupling, you actualize.
You actualize.
That piece is called The Divine Lover, and it's a poem I wrote many years ago, which was an attempt to kind of integrate the sensual spiritual dimensions of creation. Recorded by Rochelle and I, with background music by the Dave Brubeck Quartet from his album Jazz Impressions of Eurasia. That track was called Calcutta Blues. We actualize. There's something to be grateful for. The fact that we actually exist in time and space on this stage of multidimensionality, powers and forces and personalities and energies and thoughts and intelligences and goings and comings and movement in every conceivable direction, and paradoxes abound and complexities, you know, permeate everything and all things. And we're thrust into the middle of this, and somehow we make our way into some greater level of awareness. What do they call it, Rabbi? Mechaya. That's right, they call it the Mechaya because it's such a blessing to realize that you exist and you have these choices, and the pain is like it says in the poem that you wrote there, oh, the Divine Lover. Very nice, very nice. Now, you were talking then. It's a good talking that you and Rochelle did. I love hearing your voices say that because it made me feel like God and Goddess, Mr. and Mrs. Mom and Pop God were talking to me. It was such a delicious feeling, and I felt very good from it. So thank you very much for writing that. But the pain is the rough places that break you open so that you can expand. If you ever look inside the nucleus of an atom, and when it's in the middle of the sexual spritz that's moving through the liquid to get to the other one, it has broken apart. That's right. These are like little gametes or something like that. They break apart and they go up the chute and they find a partner. They're missing a partner so much because the double helix chromosome, you know, I'm talking about that. Your chromosomes out there, everybody's got them. You should know about them because you all got
got them. And you're using them a lot. They're busy for you, working on your behalf. So give thanks for the chromosomes that you got, the ones you did. Huh? Give thanks for that, because that's the kind of thing that can make you feel like a Mechaya. And I think that was the word you were looking for, was a Mechaya. It's a blessing.
Now you're talking.
So this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, and now we're talking, and we're sponsored by Go Raw, but hey, brother.
Hey, brother, there's an endless road to rediscover. Hey, sister, know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker. Falling down for you. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. Hey, brother, do you still believe in one another? Hey, sister.
Hey, Brother by Avicii. I love that sentiment. For you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. So what does it take to kind of grow this community that is required to deal effectively with the incredible challenges that we're just coming upon in this century? They're starting. The climate change, mass population movements around the planet. Now you have this new identity for a cause of war amongst nations and peoples and corporations. It's very, very shaky time and place. And that's why the most important thing, I think, did you agree, Senator, is that we be unified. That's right. That's why we need to go back to our primary purpose. And I say it's the purpose and mission of the United States. It's to form a more perfect union. I don't know if I mentioned this last time I was talking about the four bases for that, Errol. Do you remember? I'm trying to remember. Was it the four, like, I don't know, was it a pyramid? That's right. You got a good memory, boy. It was a pyramid. The foundation for building that unity exists in the inside of the rest of that sentence. This sentence being the preamble to the United States Constitution, for which I'm very grateful for. But we need to be grateful and return to the preamble, and that people can say when we say this to them, now you're talking, to form a more perfect union, establish justice. You see, that's how we form a more perfect union. Establish justice, provide for the common defense. What does that mean? People think it means to have military buildup. No, it means that you make people feel safe and secure. And that's what we need to be focused on. And when you add the justice in, a safe and secure, and then peace at home, you know, domestic tranquility, you got peace, you got justice, and you got that people all doing it together. And last but not least, promote the general welfare. Make people are healthy. That's right. Happy and healthy. And when you achieve all those four things there, and that's what this Constitution was there to help get us through the rough period. Well, we need a government because we're so hostile to each other and we're so undeveloped and immature. I'm sure you'd agree with that, wouldn't you, Rochelle? Wait, Rochelle?
Yes, I totally agree. Now you're talking. We do have to come together. there's a time when you can come together, and there's a time when you really are unable. When you are the center of the universe, anybody trying to come into that space becomes an enemy. And it's like to realize that we are, each of us has the center within us. Then our forming that union creates a magnetic center, which can bring to it all that it needs all the time.
Now you're talking. Yeah. That magnetic center. And we can just drop in and be that. And I think that's a vital thing to come to appreciate in life, is that there is this still place that's beyond all thought, all perception, all association, all memories, all impulses. Everything is just this still place around which everything moves and turns. And as vast as the universe is, and as much time that has transpired in the millions and billions of years, that still center is the center throughout it all, in every place and everywhere and with everybody.
Now you are talking.
Huh. Hey, this is Barney. Yeah, that was some good talking there, Errol. Boy, that was like... what was the word you used there, Rabbi? Mechaya. That's right, the Mechaya word. I like that, because there is this still place, so that no matter what's happening, this is so good, I love this about this phenomenon, no matter what's happening, you could just get still. But it takes practice, because we are very busy, like she said, Emmy Rossum, in that song that was so perfect, Slow Me Down. And then we got Thanksgiving, which is a one day of the year where we all kind of slow down. At least, you know, our mouth is moving a lot. You know, we're eating. Our digestive system is busy working, but we're not working.
We give ourselves permission to be in that state of gratitude, and everybody supports it. It's not just a, oh, yeah, let's be grateful. Well, the whole thing is about gratitude. It is be thankful. Since we all acknowledge it, it has strength. And I don't think that we realize how powerful it is. But it's like a light. That by itself, it's a light. And it has power. But when you focus it on something that's dark, and it illuminates it, it becomes really powerful.
It does. I was so amazed in this book to understand how light works. Light is like a leapfrog between this electron moving, and then ignites the magnetism to move, and then it leaps over, which ignites the electron to move, which ignites the magnetism. And it's like this leapfrog thing happening through space. That's an actual phenomenon. Don't you think, Barney? Light, are you kidding me? With something we take for granted every day. What's the first thing you see when you get up every morning? People want to say, my ceiling. No. You see light. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing these bombardments of the thing you were talking about, Errol. I love that little hopscotch. What'd you say? Hop, you got me confused. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying there. We got this little hoppity-hippity in the light. And right now, folks, for you listening out there, if I could be personal for just a moment, the light, in fact, is impacting you at this very minute. You know, even if your eyes are closed and you're in a completely dark room, the light has made it possible for existence to happen as you know it. This is something we should feel very grateful for, is the light itself. Because without the light, and then the light is the trees, and then they have this thing that they do, the chlorophyllic dance, you know, and out of that, these energies and these things leave off, as in leaves leaving them off when they walk by or fly by. And that's something to be grateful for. Here it is, Thanksgiving, it's the fall, the leaves are flying by, probably for some of you out there as I speak. We're going to hibernate now for a few months. We're going to go in, and I think we should use this time to really look at what do we really value, and how much do we value it, and what are our loyalties, and what is our devotion to? Do we even have a devotion? I remember I talked to a guy years ago, and I said, what are you devoted to? And he says, nothing. Not really, nothing. No devotion. That was it. It's like, oh, okay, that's it, huh? Nothing. Anyway.
And so, he might have used very different words, and the word devoted to would not compute with him. But there are things that he probably is devoted to that he doesn't know, because the words sometimes get in the way.
Now you're talking. Some people don't make the distinction between devoted and being addicted. There are very fine lines to cross there, because it's very easy to fall into addictive, where you depend upon this thing that you've been devoted to define you and say who you are and what you're about and what value you have. No, it's just the devotion is like you just give, and you have no expectation of a return. And guess what? You can get a free return. You can get returns. You can take it back. You can get rebates. You get anything you want. But the point is, you give love, and this is what this time is for people to really come together. So when you're home, if I may say this and get a little personal here, when you're in your home this Thursday and you're surrounded by family and the people that you care about and you're looking at each other, you really do take a minute to feel grateful, because feeling grateful is a fabulous thing. You know, when you're grateful, it's almost like a love song to the world. That's right. It really is.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest, you're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love, you're my hands, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug, you're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun, you're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter, you're my friend till the end, you're my dreams, you're my father, you're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround, I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds, you're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow, you're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow, you're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that everything
all that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Stop to take a bow and keep moving forward and start looking towards your heart. It'll open all the doors and only then you'll start to hear the world singing chorus with your mind and heart. Aligned in purpose, everything
all
will feel gorgeous.
Sit and pray, cause what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I give back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan, but there's a million things that I can be grateful for.
Now you're talking.
He was talking. I was grateful. A love song to the world. It really was. So I hope we're stoking up the feeling and the reasons. Yes, that's it. Stoking up the reasons to fill up the reasons and make the reasons richer with impulse and motivation to lead you into a deep knowing of your true self and the interconnectedness of all being. And by the grace of God, you won't have to make this silly voice to be able to experience that.
Now you're talking.
I am.
Who was the guy who sang a love song to the world?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe the name of the guy is Grateful. But if you can find it, I looked and didn't find it. Anyway. This is Inside Out. We're sponsored by Go Raw. Also, a special thank you to Universe Spirit, who has joined us and make it possible for us to have a Sunday morning show with Go Raw. So we've got two powerful presences in our life, both of them Matter of fact, we're going to join Universe Spirit and our good friend Lawrence on his boat for Thanksgiving with our son, and we're delighted. We hope that you're going to have a fabulous Thanksgiving, too. Rochelle, talk to me and say some things so I can say, now you're talking.
Well, first, the boat is not Lawrence's. The boat belongs to Universe Spirit, and Lawrence is the caretaker of it, which is really nice. And we love Lawrence. I love him like a...
He's the first mate barnacle, I believe. He's one of the top barnacles on the
no,
boat.
No, he's not.
No? Okay. Well, anyway.
I mean, now you're talking silly.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's important not to take ourselves too seriously, because in 10 to the 32nd power, the universe will be gone as we know it. I think that's already happened, that cycle of the 10 to the 32nd. I think it's already happened another 10 to the 32nd times, and it just keeps starting over. You know, we're on round 8,479,000,000th of this particular round of it.
And now you're talking, baby. Now you're talking.
Well, I've been so impacted by being reminded of this cosmic, amazing star collapse, implosion, release of energy, building the elements out of which our life on Earth is made. It pushes out until it runs out, and then it collapses, and all that ash, because energy is never lost, goes back and it gets burned. And so bigger elements are shot out next time because they're mixing. And now we're not just hydrogen, now we're like carbon. And before you know, you double carbon and you've got photon. And then you double photon and you got nickel bomb. Now that was a family. That family I knew it.
Sometimes when you start talking, you just go off the deep end.
I didn't know there was a deep end.
But oh, there is a deep end. You have to know, because you go there all the time.
Now you're talking.
That's right. I am.
How would you like to wrap it up here as we lead to the Thanksgiving moment of this year, 2015?
Remember, just because there's a lot of food doesn't mean you have to eat it.
That's good. That's good. So it's kind of like, you could almost call it National Permission to Be Obese Day.
Gluttonous.
Gluttonous. It's National Gluttonous Day. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
I mean, if the fact is that you have food and you're grateful for the ability to have that food, you're not starving and you do have something to eat, and to be grateful that you have something to eat, and there are people on this crazy little planet who don't. Who do not have something to eat, and we just gorge ourselves. I think that every bite we take, if we're grateful for that bite and realize that we are feeding another person, we are feeding someone, we're feeding the person sitting next to us, we're feeding ourselves, that's a gracious act. Mm. And Thanksgiving is about graciousness. It's about gratitude. Yeah, I think that's really nice.
Now you're talking. It is about gratitude, and we don't have much time. I just want to take you out on a little bit of Mary Chapin Carpenter's Thanksgiving song.
Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered round this table. Far and near we travel home, blessed that we are able. Grateful for this sheltered place, with light in every window, saying welcome, welcome, share this feeling. Coming away from sorrow. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friends, all together, everyone, in the gift of loving kindness. Thank you. grateful for what's understood and all that is forgiven. We try so hard to be good, to lead a life worth living. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friends, all together, everyone, let grateful days be endless. Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered round this table.
So thank you, Mary Chapin Carpenter, for reminding us in sentiment and in word about the simple little connections we make in this moment. As Rochelle said when she was really doing some talking just a few minutes ago, really take the time to savor and be grateful and to expand in your appreciation of our life together and uniquely.
Now you're talking.
That being said, I think it's time to move on into another now moment where we're going to see if we can find that ever elusive future moment. But before we leave, what do you have to say to everybody, Rochelle?
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Now you're talking. Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.